You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the Lorehounds, your guides to beacon launching backup plans. I'm John, and I was born for betrayal, but not really.
And I'm Alicia, here to turn myself in for a discussion of All Systems Red, the penultimate episode of Apple TV Plus's Murderbot Season 1, because we were just saying off the mic that there damn well better be a Season 2.
I would love to see a Season 2. I don't know what's coming next because I haven't read ahead in the books. So it's all going to be a surprise to me. And I think I'm going to leave it that way. It seems like it's going to be a fun show to just watch as it goes.
Yeah, it sounds like they might end up mixing a couple books together for the next season anyway, which makes sense for reasons that I won't discuss for spoilers. But so far, I've only read the first two books.
Right. All right. Well, I am excited to talk about this with you. Of course, spoilers for the first 9 episodes. We've not watched the finale yet, so stick around for that coverage next week. And by the way, the finale of this show, I think this is a general Apple thing that they do. Finale for this show is airing the same night as the premiere of Foundation Season 3, which we're also doing full coverage of. So stay on the feed if you want to keep on the Apple sci-fi train.
Yes, excellent. I'm looking forward to you and Marilyn talking about Foundation.
Yeah, I can give my general thoughts now. So I'll just say it's very good. It's very, very cool. Good. I'm really enjoying the third season.
Yay. I'm looking forward to it. They did the promo with the mule character with the new casting. What's his face from Game of Thrones?
I can never remember his name. It's like Pilau something.
Yeah, he's Scandinavian. Anyway, I'm definitely intrigued by this chaotic character and looking forward to the season.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, your hot takes, Alicia?
Yeah, well, first of all, we got an extra 7 minutes this episode, so thank you to the TV gods. This one was 30 minutes long. It was directed again by Rosen Liang, and I noticed each of them is directed, there's 4 different directors, it seems, working on this season, each doing 2 episodes each. So I'm wondering, I think finale will probably be, I forget, one of the whites is, who hasn't done 2 yet. Each week I keep saying maybe it's my favorite, and this one maybe it's my favorite again. We're back very much on the book. A lot of the dialogue and situations were pulled directly from the book, but they still continued to add extra around it to flesh it out, to flesh out the character relationships and the plot mechanics and things like that. I loved the dark humor of this episode. It was so dark, so deliciously dark. Great twists worthy of Sanctuary Moon, and an emotional, genuinely emotional ending, even though I know pretty much more or less what's coming next week. They hit me in the feels. What about you?
I thought it was great. I thought that they really sold, like, who is Murderbot betraying at what point? Mm-hmm. Because I honestly, even me having read the book, I was like, I'm not so sure what angle he's playing here.
Right.
I did, you know, you talk about the adaptation and its quality and its relation to the books. I did recently listen to some of the Imaginary Worlds interview with Martha Wells, and I thought that was great. A really great interview on the process and how the showrunners were really receptive to, like, oh, well, we want to cut a character. Can we cut this one? She goes, no, can you cut that one instead? And they do that. So I think that's why it's so, you know, it does feel so faithful. It does feel so true to the tone of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like they really got the creative people involved. Like, it sounds like Alexander Skarsgård was also quite involved in design decisions and decisions about the character. And I'm always very heartened when the writer of the books is involved in the adaptation so much, you know.
Right.
We saw this. That's why I think certain adaptations have been more successful than others.
Agreed. And we see, you know, the era of Game of Thrones where George Martin was involved was exactly. much better than the era where he stepped back.
I was avoiding calling out House of the Dragon, but there we go.
I'll call it out. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well.
But I think so far, so good.
Yeah, I think this is great. It was so nice also to hear Martha Wells talk about how excited she was just to see her characters come to life. Like, it feels like this is really a labor of love, this show.
For sure. And as I keep saying, I am just so glad to see these kind of dynamics represented on screen, where, you know, you show people are human and they have dramas, but you can still have dramas and be as good to each other as possible in that, and remember that you're dealing with other humans.
Right.
And it
humanoids.
Makes, and it makes you stronger in the end, as we'll talk about in this episode.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, I do enjoy about the show that it is still a comedy. Like, there's drama in there, but it is still a comedy. And so, like, when you have Murderbot diving to escape the explosion that never happens, fantastic, right? The head bouncing. The last words of like, did you make 2,900 whatever episodes?
If those are my last words, I stand by it.
Right. I feel like, Alicia, you would say that with, like, save Wheel of Time.
Savewhat.com. Those are my last words. I stand by it.
Well, why don't we get right into this episode? You've got a lovely outline for us today, as usual. So thank you for doing that. Let's do it.
Yeah, since it's, I pretty much split it into two halves, since it is, was just like, it wasn't different plot lines. It was just one big action set piece. So I thought maybe I could read the purple and you could read the green?
Sure.
Okay. So we start with Murderbot's mystery plan. The Preservation Ox team accepts Grey Chris's invitation to parley and heads to the meeting point expecting a trap. Murderbot leaves alone to meet with Grey Chris, pretending to have turned on its humans, throwing the head of the crushed sec unit Preservation Ox fought at the Deltfall base at their feet and saying it's Garothan.
Can I just say before we move on from that, because I think I'm going to forget if I don't. This actually is a deeper moment than I think I realized at first, because the Deltfall people would never have asked the sec unit to lower their masks.
Right.
And that's why this works. Like, if they had in any way humanized their sec units, this wouldn't have worked.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is, I think it's really interesting when shows sort of emphasize the advantages of empathy instead of how it leaves you vulnerable, how it can be a power, how it could be a tool. And this really did that for me.
Yeah, completely agree.
Meanwhile, Pin, Lee, and Garothan sneak into the woods with a drone they intend to use to hack into Grey Chris's hub system and launch their beacon to call for help. Murderbot just needs to trick Grey Chris into giving up their access codes. To do so, it pretends to be betraying their current activities as well.
Twist! Rati, Arata, and Bardwaj handle tech operations from back at the Preservation Ox habitat, and Mensa holds down the fort on the hopper. They're understandably reluctant to let Grey Chris into their system, but in the end, they trust Murderbot enough to go through with the ruse. So, yeah, lots of Murderbot lying this episode.
And they kind of draw attention to that right away, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, he gives them a lie out of kindness, right? He doesn't want to make them freak out.
Yeah.
And I think Murderbot was also lying to itself at that point. Because, okay, it probably is partially to not, like, hamper their performance. But when he goes, I don't know why I lied, he lied to them. It lied to them. Because it was trying to make them feel better, because it had empathy. And Even later, Murderbot says, "I've been infected with an empathy virus." Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love also, you know, you speaking of the comedic timing, how they handle this part at the beginning, like you said, where they're talking about Mensa's like, you perform probability calculations, right? And Murderbot thinks constantly, says that's a common misconception. And then about why did you lie so we wouldn't underperform? Yeah, he says out loud, that's not why, thinks that was why.
Yeah,
but then says later, as usual, the humans were being hot messes. That's why I lied to them. So I do think it's to protect them from themselves, but also, yeah, to protect their feelings. And I guess there is a calculation there where people perform better when they have more hope.
Right. I think that's true, too. You know, you're going to give that last little, like, half a percent of effort.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I do like that they've kept Murderbot as an unreliable narrator in general. It's just, it's a literary device that I enjoy in general, and I think Murderbot's a great one, because it's not like, we it's clear, especially by the end of this episode, that Murderbot is not, is well-meaning. But then, yeah, and as you said, there's different layers. Like, Murderbot's lying to the rest of the team, but Murderbot's also lying to itself a lot of the time.
Right, absolutely. Murderbot is, it's interesting because, you know, I think one of my character flaws is that I distract myself with media, right? Like, I will avoid thinking about a problem by looking at fictional problems. And so that has always felt of a piece with Murderbot. You know, that's exactly Murderbot. But it's really interesting to watch later on, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later on in the second section, but Murderbot using those distractions as a weapon.
Right. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a boon instead of a weakness.
Yeah. 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 I think Murderbot's also learning to recognize similarities and exploit them. Like that great exchange where Murderbot says to Garothin, I noticed you have an issue with eye contact, and that smirk. Oh, that smirk.
Boom. Got him.
Got him. Yeah, I think, yeah, and we also see, by the way, Murderbot's still secretly taking all of its best ideas from the media watches, like hacking into Grey Chris's Hubsiv system, secretly another idea from Sanctuary Moon. But I guess, I think one thing that they make a lot clearer in the books that I'm not sure if it's as clear on the show is how the different feeds work for communication. So basically, if you are not on a feed, like, that's why there's a private feed. If you're not on that feed, you cannot hear what the other person's saying. And I think that's tougher to do in a TV show, because I noticed, especially in the second book, it's something where they emphasize if a human is speaking on a private feed, it's like they're mouthing the words inside their mouth. Like, you can see their jaw moving, but you can't tell what they're saying. But I think, you know, constructs like Murderbot, or maybe even augmented humans like Garathan, don't have to do that at all. They just send the information, you know.
Right. And in the books, I remember Mensa is always like typing to Murderbot too, like just on a private channel. And that's so that she could have more private conversations and be like, hey, look, be real with me, Murderbot. Don't sugarcoat it to me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, necessarily in the show, because it's a visual media and they want it to make, you have to be able to hear what the people are saying, but that can make it perhaps more confusing to some people. So hopefully that clarifies. One other thing that they couldn't quite do in the show, like in the books, is in the books, Murderbot will have like a little cluster of drones flying with it when it, you know, does patrol or does these different things. I understand that's more expensive to do in the show. You know, we were just saying, we think it's on the cheap side, which is good for renewing it, but not good for having a pack of drones following Murderbot around, as I know some people hoped to see.
Right.
But we got some drone action this episode.
Yeah, we did get some good action, and with drones especially. I liked the improvised drone that Pin Lee seemed to be setting up. It seemed to be like taped together, and I enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah, and I like how they're playing on costuming also from the books. So, like in the books, Grey Chris are, you can tell by their outfits in their enviro suits, they call them, that they are divided into three groups, blue, green, and yellow. And in the show, they're all wearing kind of gray suits, which I guess gray, Chris, I get it.
Right.
But each of them has accents in one of those three colors. So I, in the second, when we talked through the second part, I labeled them, the three who are constantly talking, each have a different color. Blue leader was the leader in the books and was called Blue Leader. And then there's also the redhead is wearing green. So she's Green Leader. And the guy who insulted Sanctuary Moon is wearing yellow. So he's Yellow Leader.
Well, none of them do very well here.
No, good.
I really loved the way that Murderbot was playing them all against each other, though, right? Like really just like throwing all of them for a loop with this governor module stuff and just making them feel like they won.
Right. Yeah. They attempted to hack Murderbot's governor module again. And then that was like a satisfying moment where I liked Rati was still fanboying back at the base. Like, I don't recommend that course of action. That was pretty cool.
And they're like, shut up, Rati. Yeah. We don't need this right now.
That whole exchange with the governor module from the whole thing, like it felt like a mild tickle to, I assume you're trying to install another combat override module and send me back to kill them. All that stuff is word for word from the book. Only the major difference is in the book version, it says, I don't recommend that course of action. It raises its arms and shows its arm guns to them. And that's how it reveals that its governor module's hacked. But I guess that's, again, another special effects shot that saves some money.
Yeah, that's right. I was interested, too, just to bring back to the Martha Wells thing, the way that she said it was almost more effective in the show to be able to, because people will always question, like, what's Murderbot's secret gender? And, like, she's like, I'm glad that they, like, showed Murderbot's full body, right? No belly button, and you got the, Ken doll bottom, and... Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. I think they chose their moments to use special effects really well.
Right. You're right. Yeah. I mean, that was a more important storytelling moment than, and we've seen the arm guns before, we didn't need to see them right now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 But the Grey Chris sec unit, so rude, won't even say hi back to Murderbot. We never hear a word from them.
Yeah, really. Again, they are so dehumanized, right? Because you don't even see their faces. They wouldn't recognize the head of one of their sec units if it hit them.
Yeah.
And it almost did hit them.
So can we ask, how long has that head just been like sitting in the hold? Because it looked less rotten than I would expect, to be honest.
Yeah, like how? Because it is organic flesh, right? So like, why isn't it rotting?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe Murderbot like put it in the fridge and was like, maybe we'll need this later.
Now I just keep thinking of anyone who's seen 28 years later. I need Ralph Fiennes' character to come in and take care of it. Anyway.
oh, no.
So, yeah, do you think that Murderbot pretending the severed head is Garothin's head, is that... And saying Garothin is the only member of the team that understood the threat it posed with the hacked governor module. Is that an insult or a compliment to Garothin?
I think a compliment, honestly. I mean, Garothin was right, right? Like, objectively, a hacked governor module is going to make this murder bot a threat. Mm-hmm. In the same way that a human is a threat, right? Like somebody who's unpredictable and not controlled. Again, if you got rid of the first law, that's why people freak out in the Asimov books when you're questioning, can the first law be broken? Because these things are more powerful than you. And if they can get past their abhorrence of hurting you, then, you're done for.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a compliment in the sense of Garothin is the only threat to Murderbot there. But then also saying Garothin is this rotting head. Although speaking of rotting, are you glad that Garothin was using a cane and had a limp this after the surgery last week?
Yeah, because I didn't understand what was happening last episode. Why did they kind of skip that last episode? That's what's confusing. Maybe they reordered some things, but that doesn't make sense to me either. So I'll just be quiet.
He didn't walk around that much after that last episode because they were just at the habitat.
That's true.
Garathan's definitely upset that Mensa keeps putting herself at risk, and then he seems totally thrown when Pinley responds, "It's so hot." And he's like, "It's very frustrating and hot."
Yeah. I like that he kind of was given a permission structure to say openly what he feels.
Yeah. Why can't you love me? Oh.
Oh gosh, poor Garathan.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Murderbot says it wants to be taken back with Grey Chris, but listed as destroyed in the inventory. I mean, if Grey Chris could be trusted at all, which obviously, you know, the green leader says, like, it's just one bot, we can dispatch it later. So obviously can't be trusted. But if they could be trusted, would that be the best for Murderbot to be listed as destroyed and let go?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you'll still have to worry about it. I'm sure they have, like, identification documents, but maybe Murderbot can forge them once Murderbot is out.
Yeah, but I still feel like, personally, and I obviously have a bias, I feel like Murderbot is better with Preservation Ox than on its
own. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Murderbot needs, you know, at the end of this episode, I loved, my clients are the best clients.
Yeah, oh. In the books, Murderbot, it says at one point, Mensa is my favorite human, and I feel like this is the show equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Murderbot. I've killed two of your sec units single-handedly. Okay, they beat the crap out of me, and I got lucky. Murderbot never change.
I guess this is the second time that Murderbot got to use a Sanctuary Moon as a weapon, right? Because the first time did the same thing. I forgot about that. Not the same exact thing, but like didn't Murderbot like project it in that fight?
Oh, sang the
theme
song.
I was like, there was something with Sanctuary Moon in that fight.
Yeah, sang the theme song. And then it was, because it was confused and it was picturing itself in Sanctuary Moon then after that.
Right. All right, well, you ready to take a break before we finish this episode?
All right, let's do that.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
We're back. Ready to kick it off?
Okay, so phase two hits a hitch. This is a long one because it's all of the action. Phase one of the secret plan goes off without a hitch. Garathan gets the codes. Grey Chris changes Murderbot's official status in the system to destroyed, and Garathan and Pinley have the drone lined up to launch the Grey Chris beacon. But then Murderbot seems to really turn on the team again. It tells Grey Chris that its clients are trying to trigger their beacon manually and are at the launch pad right now. Its plan is to get Grey Chris to investigate the beacon and be killed by the launch explosion when it's set off, even though Murderbot, as their hostage, would be killed as well.
And then, as all the pieces of this new plan fall into place, a bird flies into the drone, knocking it out and all communication between the team. Pinley and Garathan can't warn Murderbot that the beacon won't launch, so they haul ass to the Grey Chris base to launch it from there instead. But Mensa, back on the hopper and also cut off from communication, has a better plan. She takes off in the hopper.
Murderbot stalls until it expects the beacon to go off, then runs and dives for cover, and is unpleasantly surprised when nothing happens. Luckily, as Grey Chris is trying to force Murderbot, which they now know was lying, onto their hopper to do horrible things to it, Mensa arrives in the Preservation Ox hopper to parlay herself as a planetary admin for Preservation Alliance. She tells them she knows that they are there to exploit the alien remnants. She says she will give them the data they want in exchange for Murderbot back. Baffled as everyone is by this request, Blue Leader says they'll just torture the information out of her instead.
Murderbot goes a little too ham volunteering to torture her instead, and Gray Chris's yellow leader recognizes it's been quoting Sanctuary Moon all day. After suffering insults to its favorite show, Murderbot fights Gray Chris and using yellow leader as a human shield to prevent their sec units from firing, until the human green leader accidentally takes yellow leader out with some friendly fire instead. But when green leader tries to steal their hopper and leave the rest behind, blue leader takes her out in turn and then trades fire with Mensa. As a Gray Chris sec unit tries to kill Murderbot, Murderbot confuses it with a flood of media and shoots it.
Just then, the beacon launches, taking out blue leader, the sec units, and their hopper in the explosion. Murderbot jumps off a cliff with Mensa, using its body to break her fall. Mensa survives, and the team celebrates with a tinge of sadness as Murderbot goes dark. So, yes, first of all, this is why we need multiple drones. But
redundancy, folks. Redundancy. Yeah.
But like you said, it looked like Pinley was taping that one together. So I guess they were... I mean, did they just not have drones with them for some reason? Or did Gray Chris take them so they couldn't use them?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I guess you could just say it's there as a plot device, right? Like the fact that they had one less drone.
Because right, of
also,
course.
Also, yeah. Arguably, couldn't they just use Murderbot as the drone, basically? Like, they just need a piece of tech in there.
I guess they need something in the air.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Who knows? But, I mean, this whole action sequence was great, right? Like, I really enjoyed all of the back and forth with Mensa. I enjoyed the way... I mean, my favorite part was Murderbot flooding right. The other bot with Sanctuary Moon to distract it.
Right. Yeah, I wonder, you know, they really don't show us what are the other bots thinking. We know because of Murderbot, we know they're capable of thought. Obviously, they right. haven't jailbroken themselves, and we know that Murderbot's developed a lot of the ways of thinking about thinking from watching media, human media. But when the other sec units are with Murderbot in the cargo, they know, like, this is a weird sec unit, as you said, infected with the empathy virus, says sorry. And they know Murderbot has hacked its governor module. And Murderbot even says to them, we can talk about this. You don't have to follow orders. I can teach you how to hack your governor modules. And obviously, they're required by those governor modules to attack Murderbot. But do you think part of them is torn inside, thinking like, oh, I really wish I could just take this bot up on this offer?
I don't know. Well, we know that, again, Murderbot had this weird construction, right? Like, wasn't there that whole thing of like, it's within parameters.
Right.
I think Murderbot might be the weird one, not one, like, caring about getting freedom. Like, that's why more, like, I'm sure most of them are technologically capable of hacking their governor modules. But the question is, do they want to? Or are they so well programmed that they don't even feel the need?
I mean, okay, I have thoughts on this based on the second book that I won't share. But a separate thought is that this whole phrase about the empathy virus, will Murderbot infect others with the empathy virus? Like, obviously, these sec units, they blew up. But right. if they hadn't, would they be thinking about this and, you know, and try to hack themselves?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. I haven't read ahead, unlike some people.
I'm going to continue reading ahead too. Do you think they need a man with a laptop sling to help them communicate better with their,
oh my God.
The pilots and co-pilots?
Yes, they do. I think everyone needs to try the Fielder method.
Oh, it's another rehearsal reference. Sorry to those of you not watching, but you should be.
Everybody should watch. If you like the humor in this show, I think you would love the rehearsal.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same like awkwardness. Yeah. I think you would really like it if you like the show.
So another interesting thing was this whole question people have been dealing with, you know, the Preservation Ox team has been dealing with watching Murderbot blow up Lubibi's head. Mm-hmm. And is that murder? And would they be capable of doing such a thing? And this episode really brings that to a head for the group as a whole. But I would say for Pinley in particular, because Pinley was always is the one who's the best with the guns and always the one who's like the closest to violence of the group, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we saw Pinley struggling with it, but then we find out Pinley had another plan that was dismissed, and their plan was to autopilot right into the Grey Chris habitat, which Grothin points out would have, you know, they wouldn't have been able to set off the beacon. So that was why they didn't go with this plan. But isn't autopiloting right into the Grey Chris habitat, isn't that intended to kill them all?
I guess so, but do you know that they're there?
I mean,
are they in the hopper?
Right. I mean, what's the point otherwise of doing that?
I think that was Pinley's goal, but I don't think it was a very good goal. You know,
yeah.
Because you don't know if the sec units are on patrol. You don't know if mm-hmm. there are drones out there. You don't know. You don't know if somebody's scouting with the hopper. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like they're very practiced in scouting from the air, right? They go, oh, well, let's go look from the air for your friends and whatnot. Yeah. So I don't think that, like, you just can't count on it, because one sec unit gets away and you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Murderbot points out that if their sec units survive, they will hunt you down and kill you. But I think because they're commanded to, I wonder if these sec units, if they must have the combat override module, if they could kick that, if that would change things. But anyway, as it stands, we see then that Grey Chris guard that tries to stop Garothin from hacking into, you know, the systems at the base. And I love, first of all, that Garothin gets his badass moment. Well, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
But then yeah. Pinley hits the guard in the back of the head, and the guard immediately starts foaming from the mouth. And Pinley's like, is he okay? Like,
oh my God. Oh my God. I mean,
I don't think so. I don't all think he's of these okay.
soft little preservation ops people can't handle a little blood and gore. Not that I think I would be any better. I don't think I could handle any of this either.
No, but it did make me laugh. Is he okay? No, I don't think he's okay. He looks very un-okay.
Right, right. He was very dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also, I mean, just again, just the contrasting between Murderbot and the Grey Chris sec units, you know, Murderbot seems to have a bit of an inferiority complex, which fair from a physical standpoint. But then it says a more sophisticated model might have come up with a better option, but you get what you pay for. But I think that actually they have the more sophisticated, quote unquote, models, the ones that are more mindless drones, would have never come up with any of these solutions that Murderbot's been coming up with along the way. Even without the combat override module, probably
that's true.
They would have died when that yeah. like first creature came and tried to eat Bardwaj, and right. you know, a dozen other times since.
Right. You know, there's a lot you can learn from Sanctuary Moon.
I think it's just from allowing more freedom of thought, more creative right. solutions. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. There's advantages to being Murderbot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never thought that I would get so emotional from hearing the words, I want you all to know I copy.
Oh, so sad. A little Murderbot trying to, it's like Scott Pilgrim. I'm in lesbians with you.
I'm in lesbians with you. Oh.
Just can't say love.
By the way, I think it was a really safe bet with Murderbot to assume that they had never seen their sec units' faces, but a much less safe bet to assume that none of them had ever watched Sanctuary Moon and keep using names from it, Shagamin, and quoting it all day.
I don't know. It's really interesting to me, actually, because we are living in an increasingly fractured media environment where people aren't all watching the same show anymore. There's no, like, generalized popular show that you can just quote to anybody. Like, you have to make sure they watch the show before you do a reference to it. And in the future, I can only imagine that it's going to get more fractured as the population grows. If the population grows, we'll see if we're successful. And so why does everyone watch the same show?
Well, I mean, it seems like it's something like, you know, I've compared it before to Star Trek or Doctor Who, where even people who don't watch it are aware of it because it's just such a long running show that a lot of people do watch. And it seems like whenever there's a group, one or two people in it will have watched it, or, you know, and at least, I guess in this case, at least two of them had heard of it. It was so funny seeing Mensa's face when they start insulting Sanctuary Moon, and Mensa's face is like, oh God, not this again. Don't insult.
Oh my God. Yeah. To this but also I feel like it's more comparable to All My Children, you know, like it's because in Sanctuary Moon, like it's sci-fi to us, but it's just realistic to them. And so it's almost like All My Children, where it's just like a drama. It's a regular, realistic drama to them.
Well, you're probably, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Although, yeah, I guess it's true. I do keep wondering, you know, so we have Alien Remnants here. And again, I've only read the first two books, so I don't know if there are more questions coming. But we only see humans around, humans and bots. So that does beg some questions about what aliens left these remnants. Like, is this from the megafauna that we've seen? Are they intelligent enough to construct something like this? And if so, to what purpose? Or is it some other race of beings that is gone now for some reason or another?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it kind of tickles my foundation brain where I'm thinking about how, like, in that universe, in the book universe at least, like the spacers are just the first humans that went out to space, and they like evolved separately basically because they were separate for so long and they had their own societies that were, they were very separate. And so they seem like aliens now, but they're not. And so maybe these were the first humans that went out and they eventually went extinct.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, how do you think Grey Chris would exploit the alien remnant we saw? It's like, it was like kind of like a ball of wind. Is it maybe energy? Is it some sort of endless energy?
Yeah, maybe. There's, you know, I think of also of the Halo series. I mean, it's better fleshed out in the games, but in the mm-hmm. show too, they talk about it. Like there's these Forerunners where they had this like advanced technology, and if you can get your hands on it, you can use it for like military power and whatnot.
Right. Right.
So yeah. Maybe that's what it is. It's all selling to selling to different corporations to have their corporate superiority in military, at least, selling to Preservation Ox so that it can defend itself, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we definitely, Grey Chris does not seem like the group that we want in charge of that.
No. Hmm. Although I don't think they'll keep it. I think they would just sell it.
No, yeah, I don't even know if they could move it, but I wonder if it's something they could, like, I don't know, if they could exploit it locally somehow. I'm curious. I hope that there's more explanations about that. But I love, can we talk about Murderbot's adorable efforts to, I think this is where you're talking about it being kind of like the cringe humor of the rehearsal, where Murderbot's trying to stall them while it thinks that the countdown to the beacon blast off still going down. All the exchanges here were gold. Like, I thought you said they were extremely clueless. They are, but only in certain matters. They're excellent at hiding.
It's so silly. Alexander Skarsgård is really great at delivery. Like, I've been really impressed with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about also last episode about how the Preservation Ox team was overthinking their physical prowess when it came to fighting off the enemy sec unit. And now we have Murderbot doing the same with its social skills. Like, luckily, my conversational skills have improved significantly. Like, have they? Where are you from? How do you like this planet? And like, I can't believe how do you like this planet worked.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, you get one person who's enough of a chatterbox, and you get there, right?
And he has feelings. He has negative feelings, and he wants them to be shared.
Right, exactly. A negative feeling, they could be a powerful thing to get people talking.
Yeah. It's probably
why I introduce you to Twitter.
Yeah. That's probably why he insulted Sanctuary Moon also, because we know that's premium quality television.
Right, and that is also how the Preservation Ox people got Murderbot to admit about Sanctuary Moon too, right? Like be like, oh, this person killed that person. That's a fucking lie.
Oh man, and that awkward moment when there was no explosion, Murderbot's like, oh, I thought I saw someone down here.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But we do see here that Mensa, you know, she says, I have another idea. She doesn't know that that the beacon's not going to go off. She just thinks she will sacrifice her own life in order to save Murderbot. You know, she leaves behind that message, take care of my children, if you know. So right. That shows you what kind of person Mensa is. Do you think everyone in Preservation Ox would do that?
No, I don't. Do you think
anyone would else
run at the first sign of danger? I think other people. Yeah, for sure. There's never one good person in a world. But I do think Mensa is a, you know, greatest among equals here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think not doing it makes you a bad person. I just think, yeah, indeed, Mensa is probably she's a leader for a reason, I'm sure.
Right.
Although,
right. She seems to have a very, very strong character here.
Mm-hmm. Although she specifies that they are non-corporation freehold polity. So non-corporation, we know that they're not part of the corporation rim. Freehold, we know that they are. Yeah, I that seems redundant. Non-corporation and freehold. But polity means that they are governing as a group. So I think she's like the temporary planetary admin.
It's more like a prime minister, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly, yeah. But still, killing a planetary admin comes with extra headaches and expenses. But I guess not if Grey Chris doesn't plans to blame it on the sec unit so that the corporation rim has to pay out, not Grey Chris.
But they make a bigger deal out of that in the books, don't they? They make a much bigger deal out of this idea that, like, there's going to be extra investigations and there's, you know, they're going to really get to the bottom of it if a leader like this dies because the insurance is so expensive. So the insurance isn't going to want to pay out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess they mentioned it so far, but they haven't, like, drilled down on it as much. But I guess Grey Chris wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter to them anyway, because as long as it's not coming out of their pockets.
Right. Right. The capitalism giveth and taketh.
Hmm. It ends on a really emotional note. My clients are the best clients, and Garothan's look at the end. Do you think he finally trusts Murderbot?
I don't think he would be like, Murderbot, let's do a trust fall. But I do think that he'd allow Murderbot to be on the team, fully on the team.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I think Murderbot has fully accepted that Garothan is the most similar to it as well.
Yeah, especially with the eye contact comment, I think.
Right.
I do think that was kind of double-edged, right? It was to be we are the same in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. That's true. Well, I guess we have one more episode coming to find out whether Murderbot really died. You know, we're hoping for season 2.
I'm gonna say probably
so.
Not. Yeah, it's the titular character. I don't think Murderbot's dying. This isn't going to be a Ned Stark situation, I'm pretty sure.
Right. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how long. I guess it probably won't be as long an episode. Like, that was the thing with the second batch of Ironheart, is the penultimate episode was the longest and the last episode was the shortest, but the last episode is the one where all the stuff, all the oh shit stuff happened. So yeah.
Yeah. That's something that I think we've actually lost that a little bit, but for 10 years, there was this tradition of give your big battle in the 9th episode of 10 and then wrap it up in the 10th, do the aftermath. And I really liked that. And I wish we would go back to it. So Murderbot, thank you. Thank you for doing all that.
Yeah, it's structured the book that way, I guess, so.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see where they leave things, because I'm hoping, I mean, if they follow the end of the book, then it is both a satisfying end on its own, but also setting up potentially something new. So I guess presumably that's what they'll do. But I just hope that at the very end it says, season 2 coming next year.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to be an annual show? I don't think so, but wouldn't it be nice?
Apple is the one that does plan ahead for that. And they were, for example, with Silo, they were already well into pre-production, finished with pre-production of seasons 3 and 4, just about when they finally announced that they had renewed it for 3 and 4. And we're I think they don't have to announce it until once they start filming, then it's hard to keep it secret that they're filming. But before that, Apple seems to quietly work on things so that they can delight rather than disappoint, probably.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I think Foundation, I think Foundation for a lot of reasons, but partly was the writer's strike that they are 2 years
right
and not 1 year. but they do, and who knows what's coming next with that, with all the showrunner changes and budget cuts. But
yeah, we'll that's a bigger one with the scale and the VFX and everything,
and the cast. You've got Jared Harris, you've got Lee Pace. It's you know, you got to get all these people together.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do hope for this season of Foundation. I think that because I know a lot of people like season two of Foundation more than one, but I actually feel the opposite. And I think the difference in season two is the story became too fragmented for me, that, you know, I wasn't caring for all the parts equally.
Okay.
So I hope that this season they do bring the story together a bit more, if that makes any sense.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I have not watched
any. Can't tell you anything, but
yeah, I have not.
Yeah, you could watch it right now. You have screeners.
I know. Yeah.
All right.
We'll finish this one.
Very cool. Well, if you want to send feedback, lorehounds@thelorehounds.com is the best way to do it. We have one more episode, so make sure to send it in ASAP so that we can read it on that finale. And you can talk with us in real time on the Discord server linked in the show notes in the link tree. And we've got a spoiler style forum with spoilery chats, but we have each episode siloed. So if you're behind, you can go talk about this episode. Like if the finale has already come out and you don't want to be spoiled, we have an episode 9 thread. So it'll be a lot of fun. What else you got, Alicia?
Yeah, we're also recording today Ironheart, the episodes 4 through 6. So it was released in two parts. So we're completing the second part of Ironheart. And yeah, I think that this show was a pleasant surprise for a lot of people who had written it off for various reasons before it aired. But I know Jean's big mad at someone in the finale, so we're going to be talking about that.
Is he telling them to kick rocks?
Oh, there's going to be boulders being told to be kicked, lined up.
Indiana Jones, watch out.
But yeah, I think that the story just evokes a reaction that makes you mad at someone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and sets up interesting things for the MCU going forward. 28 years later, we released that episode. So there's the episode for the first two films in the subscriber feeds, and then a public episode about the new film that came out. And spoiler alerts, I'm kind of obsessed with it right now. So I recommend watching it. I recommend listening to our coverage. The first half hour of it is spoiler free, where we talk about hot takes and the production. So what's going on Supercast and Patreon?
We just did our Wes Anderson 11Zs, and we are going to go forward with Val Kilmer. I think Willow's in the lead on that poll. So if you haven't voted yet, a few more days. So go do that quickly.
Last I saw, Willow and Heat were tied. Oh. And the other two were really close behind. So it really could go any direction at this point.
This is very exciting. Riveting. Riveting.
So vote if you haven't yet.
That's right.
If you're a subscriber.
And of course, we'll have a taco themed second breakfast this month. I think that was your pick.
Yes.
Yep.
I like tacos. And I'm going to teach you all what a French taco is.
Okay. I'm a little scared. Does it have snails involved?
No. I wouldn't eat that.
Well,
I would need that maybe fine in the food. Past. It's junk food. It's junk food. And yeah, the affiliates, do check them out. Never mind the music. I think the last episode was about Incubus, if I remember correctly. There's, Radioactive Ramblings, Rings and Rituals, Properly Howard. They're doing their bacon wrap season. Wool Shift Dust, we just started our Dune book breakdown, the original, and the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Do you want to thank the other peeps?
I would love to thank the other people. We've got our Discord server boosters: Aaron K, Tilly the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Duve71, Athena A, Tina Listu, Nancy M, Ghost of Bardish, and Radioactive Richard, and our lore masters: Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Duve71, Brian 863, Frederick H, Sarah L, Garrett C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K, Bobby C, and Adrian. Thank you, everyone. You. We will see you on the last episode of MurderBot.
Load up the next episode of Sanctuary Moon.
The Lorehounds Podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.